It is truly a great day to be here. I was, okay, I'm going to make everything I can to make sure that this works today and make sure I can get here, because this is an important day for you as a church. This is an important day for you as we gather together and we welcome Tracy, Jennifer, and the guys to this church family. It's so, so good. We were supposed to have dinner together last night. About half an hour before dinner, I had to send them a text and say, yeah, it's not going to happen. So did you take your wife out for dinner? Okay, so you had pizza.
If you call a trip to Wendy's, taking her out.
Nice work. Yeah, send me that bill. I was going to take him to Beef Eaters. Yeah, that's, you know, so I met Tracy this morning for the very first time. And so I'm going to make up all sorts of stories about who you are and you know, he was born a very young boy and grew up in a very strange family and, you know, those kinds of things. You will get to know him a lot better, I know, over the next many, many, many years. We pray that God will have you here. Thank you for hearing the voice of God and coming to be a part of this church family. It's a great family. It really is. And excited for what God has for you as a church and as a family together. I want to take a couple minutes, because it's always important to acknowledge people who have worked very hard to make sure that this day happened. And for those of you who were on the search team, would you please just stand? If you were on the search team, you were the one of the team members looking for, listening to the Spirit of God, asking God to speak, to show, to direct. Can we just show appreciation to these people? Great, thank you. It's not an easy job. You get a stack of resumes, you go through these resumes, and you start to discern, Lord, who is the right person for us? And so there's a process that you go through, and a lot of research, and a lot of asking questions, and a lot of interviewing, and so it's a lot of work, a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. I'm going to ask the elders, if you will also stand, please. Because once the search committee is done and presents to the elders, here is the person we believe God is calling to this church, then the elders go through their process. So let's give our elders appreciation as well. And then to you as a church family, you have to be the ones that are in the back. You're ones that are praying, wondering. Hopefully, you know, is the right person coming, preparing right for the right person to come. So thank you for all that you have done in this whole process as well. This process started about 14 months ago. I said to Ron when one of our first get-togethers, I said, I'm going to become your new best friend. And you know what? It is a privilege to be your best friend. Well, no, maybe not your best friend. She's right beside you. But a good friend. A good friend. And it has been a privilege to get to know Ron. He is a gem. A real man of God. And I appreciate you deeply, Ron. Yeah. You are part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. You are part of a denomination that reaches across the country, 435 plus churches, around the world, into many, many, many countries. The Alliance, the Christian Missionary Alliance, goes into the areas in our world that are least reached and underengaged. That means this. We don't go to the places where there's lots of churches on the street corners. In our world today, the Christian Missionary Alliance goes into countries and into cities and into areas where there is less than 2% Christian. Less than 2%. And that's where the Alliance is going these days. We're not comfortable unless we're going into the dark places. That means all over the world. It's interesting when you think about Canada, because Canada, 36 some million people. What's the percentage of people in Canada that would be evangelical? Any idea? 8 to 10%. In fact, the island would probably have less than that percentage. And so you are in a dark place. And you are called to be a light in the dark place. That's why you're here. The church is not about a nice group of people joining together and just having fun together and being nice, warm family. The church are the hands and feet of God to reach lost people. That's why you're here. You need to remember that, friends. You need to remember that. It's not about just doing and being a nice group of people, as much as you are that. It's about changing your world for Jesus. That means, I told you, careful with what I say. What's the population in Nanaimo? 60,000? 80,000? So 68,000 people are Christian. That means there's a lot of people there need Jesus. And we're called to that. So as I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about what does this look like, before I give my charge to Tracy and to Jennifer this morning, I wanted to just give you a bit of an encouragement. Because as you move forward today, this is a kind of everything coming together today, and we're about to move into a new chapter in the life of Nanaimo Alliance Church. You've been around for a long time. You've impacted in many, many ways. How many people here came to know Jesus Christ through Vacation Bible School? I'm the only one? Okay, there's two of us now. I see that hand. Boy, Vacation Bible School, support that greatly. I accepted Christ at Vacation Bible School at age 5. Little town called Morden, Manitoba. And God has brought me to now serve in this place. It's not about babysitting kids, it's about reaching children for Jesus. And God will change them, and God will use them in most powerful, powerful ways. How do you move forward? What's the challenge? I mean, you've got a new pastor and wife and the guys. They're not the last guy. They're not the guy before him. They're new. And they're different. I didn't say strange, I just said different. Different. And God has a new direction for you as a church. God has a calling, because when he called Tracy here because this is the man that God wants to use to lead you as a church family forward. So I want to give you words of encouragement this morning. I want to talk about, first of all, just for a few minutes, from Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. The whole subtitle of this chapter is called The Unity of the Believers. And I want to call you to unity. I want to call you to a place of unity as the bride of Christ, as the church family at Nanaimo Alliance Church. I want to call you to a new place. I want to call you to unity moving forward. It says these words in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning of verse 1. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. He's calling them to unity. He's calling them to a new place. He's calling them forward. And he says these words, as a prisoner for the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as the Lord, as Christ apportioned it. And this is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. Why does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lowest earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was him. It was Jesus who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Well, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemings. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let me give you three thoughts from that. First of all is this. We are called to live a life worthy of our calling. We are called to live a life worthy of our calling. Words like humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, there is one Spirit, there is one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. Friends, we are diverse people. That's our reality. I'm looking around the room and I don't see anybody that looks the same as the person beside him. We're diverse people. We think differently. How many people here like country music? Four over here. One, so, okay, two maybe here. How many people like rock and roll music? Nice. How many people like jazz music? We're diverse people. How many people like Wendy's? We're diverse people. How many people speak more than one language? More than two languages? How many languages do you speak? Three languages. Wow. We as a church family, brought in a refugee family this week. Thursday, our refugee family from Syria arrived into Chilliwack, where we live and attend Chilliwack Alliance Church. A diverse people group, different than us. We are all different. We're diverse, yet God says we are to be unified. What unifies us? What brings us together? What makes us the family of God? One Lord, one faith, one baptism. We are called. We are called to be unified. We are called to be humble. We are called to be gentle and patient with one another because we're different than one another. We are called. And Paul says here, I want you to live a life worthy of your calling. And as you move forward as a family, the greatest thing that could happen is this sense of everyone now coming together. Not because Tracy's here. Tracy the hero. Do you have a big Superman thing under? He's just a guy. But because the God of this universe, the creator of all things, has said, I call you together as the bride of Christ in Nanaimo. And I call you to be humble and patient and loving and bearing with one another. Live a life worthy of the calling that we have as Christ followers. Every day. Every day. Second, it says this, live in the grace given to you. Live in the grace given to you. Now, when I first read that a few times, I thought, well, that's grace. You know, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's about forgiveness. That's about forgiveness from sin and God's grace. It's not that here. As I studied it further, I discovered it's more about the gifts. Because he has called us together to live in unity and he has given us gifts. We are to live in the grace given to us as Christ apportioned it. Did Christ apportion only so much grace for Rod? And then, well, a lot more for Ron? No, that's not what it means. It means that God has given gifts as he apportioned to it. As he said, I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to give you two gifts. I'm going to give you. And it's the gifting that goes on here. And it says, some have been given the gift of apostleship, a prophet. Apostle is somebody who is a kind of a church planter, is how we think of apostles. Someone who's got to just go somewhere into the darkness and just start something. It's an apostle. Just going to go. There's prophets, those who speak the word of God, speak the truth of God. There's the evangelist. Some people have the gift of evangelism, and I've heard stories when I've attended seminars where a guy would walk into a grocery store and he'd come up to a lady in the grocery store and say, ma'am, I believe that today you need Jesus Christ and you're going to accept him today. She goes, yes, I do, and yes, I will, and she falls down on her knees and accepts Christ. The guy has the gift of evangelism. And the Spirit of God spoke through him and said, here's a woman right here, right now, that's ready to receive Christ, and led her to the Lord. Anybody have that gift? Maybe you do. Maybe you need to fan that into flame. Maybe you need to call that forward. Some have been given the gift of being a pastor and a teacher. As I read through this and as I was studying this, I began to think about if we were to, and I don't have them with me today, but if we were to think of those five gifts, Christ apportioned these gifts. He gave these gifts out. These aren't extra special gifts as in, you know, they're more important than the other gifts. These are gifts for the building up of the body. These are the gifts that God says. He separates them out from the ones we find in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans chapter 12. And I kind of think of, if we take this thing, this jug, and we fill it up with five rocks until it's full, is the jug full with five rocks in there? No, it's not. It's not full. If we take a bunch of pebbles and pour it all around those rocks until it's almost full, is the jug full? No, it's not. If we take a bunch of sand and pour it in all around the pebbles and the rocks, and we pack it down, then it is full. Christ has apportioned to us the body of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. He has apportioned to us some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to build the body up. Christ has given gifts to all of us through the power of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 says that the Holy Spirit gives gifts to whom he sees that he wants to give to. So for some of us have been given the gift of helps. And you know what that means? I got a buddy who's got the gift of help. He all the time. What can I do? What can I do to help? What can I do to help? What can I do to help? For others, it's the gift of generosity. I just want to give. For others, it's the gift of faith. For others, it's the gift of sharing your faith. We're all called to share our faith. But when you see an evangelist at work, wow. Friends, each one of you have been given a gift or gifts by the Spirit of God. And it is through his power that those gifts come to life. We are to live in the grace that has been given to us. And as you think about the church, right here, the Nanaimo Alliance Church, and you think about moving forward in unity, what are you bringing to the table? What has the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, God himself, what has he given to you, and what is he asking you to bring to the table to serve the body? What is he asking? It says that these gifts were given, these five gifts were given, to prepare God's people. To prepare God's people. So part of the role of the pastor is to equip, teach, train, develop, not do everything. Did you hear that? not do everything. Finally, we got our senior pastor. Now him and Joel can just like do everything. Not going to happen. You'll burn him out. You'll misuse him. Because God has given Tracy gifts. And he will use those gifts for this church. And as you come together, you will be vibrant as you serve together. Live in the grace given to you. And finally, it says this, live in a stable environment of faith. In these verses 14 and on, to live in a stable environment of faith. No longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there and every wind of teaching by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. You won't be distracted by all the stuff that goes on around you. And somebody goes, well, I think I follow this guy and I follow this and we should do this. And all over the place, we're scattered in our brains. But rather, we live in a stable environment of faith, living in a family of truth and love and maturity in Christ. And it says that the body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each one does its part. Think of an athlete. We have these boats, dragon boats, today, down on the bay. Athletes. I saw a couple of them in the elevator this morning. They work hard to train their bodies, to equip themselves, so that their body will work together, function together. Imagine if everybody in the dragon boat got going and then this person over here decided to go backwards. And this person over here decided to, I'm not doing this. This is too hard. And the caller at the back just kind of said, turn left here. Where are we going? To build up, to work together, to be strong as the body of Christ, as Christ is the head. Not the head. Christ is the head of the church. This is his body. But he's called Tracy and Jennifer and the boys to come here and serve. I urge you towards unity as a church. God has something new for you. Find out what it is and go after it and watch what the Lord will do. It's not about us. It's all about him. Tracy and Jennifer, I'm going to ask if you guys would come and join me up here. Okay, good. Sit tall. When I called Tracy, one of the roles I have as an assistant DS and working with churches is I get the privilege of calling a pastor and saying, hey, this church wants to call you to come and candidate. Or, hey, this church is, you've candidated and it's all gone well, and this church is calling you to become the pastor. It is one of the greatest joys of my opportunity, my day to do that. I love doing that. I don't know Tracy, but when I talked to him on the phone the very first time, you impacted me. Because there is a genuine passion for Jesus. There is a genuine sense of I love what I do. And I really sense the Lord calling me somewhere new and fresh. Because you served at Slave Lake for 12 years. But I just sense that there's something new and fresh for me. And as I listened to your voice and I listened to your heart through your voice, honestly, I said these words in my mind. This guy is right for Nanaimo. This guy will bring a new sense of life and energy to this church. And I was very, very excited. First of all, to call you, to ask you to come candidate. And then when the church said yes and you said yes, and I could not miss this day. So, I want to give you guys a charge this morning. And then I'm going to give the church a specific charge. And then we're going to pray for you. Here's the charge. It comes out of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul's writing these words, and he says this to his buddy, Timothy. I give you a command in the sight of God in Christ Jesus. Tracy and Jennifer, I give you this command in the sight of God in Christ Jesus, who is in this very room right now, very present with us. Christ will judge the living and the dead. Because he and his kingdom are coming, here is the command that I give to you. Preach the word. Be ready to serve God in good times and bad. Correct people's mistakes. Warn them. Cheer them up with words of hope. Be very patient as you do these things. Teach them carefully. Sometimes we want to beat the sheep. It's not a good thing to do. We need to love the sheep. But we are called by the word of God to really care for and lead and sometimes to correct and warn. The time will come when people won't put up with true teaching. We live in that world today. Today's world is all about whatever I want to do, whatever I think is right, whatever you think is right. Just do your own thing. That's our world. Time will come when people won't put up with true teaching. Instead, they will try to satisfy their own longings. They will gather a large number of teachers around them, and the teachers will say what the people want to hear. The people will turn their ears away from the truth. They will turn to the stories that aren't completely true. Preach the truth. I was reading recently in an article about what do millennials want in church. They want the truth. People in the congregations today, don't tell me about the 7 best ways to be a good dad. Teach the word. So Tracy, teach the word. Yeah, there's great training in there, as we know. But preach the word, brother. But I want you to keep your head no matter what happens, says Paul to Timothy. I say to you, don't give up when times are hard. Work to spread the good news. Do everything God has given you to do. Do everything God has given you to do. So a couple thoughts from this. First of all, this is not an easy task called to be a pastor. There's times when the only thing that has held me into my ministry was the knowing that God called me into this. And I'm sure you've been through that yourself. Because you know what? Ministry is full of people. Real people. And it can be challenging. You're called to love and serve God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. You're called to love and serve God first. Tracy, don't lose your faith in your role as a pastor. Don't let it become just busy work. Don't let it become just, oh, this is my faith. This is my relationship with God. But love Jesus and fall in love with him regularly. Spend time with him in the word. Just the two of you. Be together. Because the best way to serve this group of people is to love Jesus. Friends, make sure that he loves Jesus and takes time to do that. Understand when he says, I'm going to take a day away and go sit by the ocean and with my Bible and just be with the Lord. Bless him with that. Bless him with that. Don't lose your faith, Tracy. You're called to love and serve your bride and your family. That's second. So serve God, serve your bride. Don't ever let me hear from Jennifer, the church has taken over from me. Love your wife. Love your boys. They need a great dad. Jennifer needs a great husband. Don't lose your family. God has never called us to lose our family. God has never called us to burn out. He's called us to be sold out. But we can do that and still keep healthy in our relationship. So number one, God. Number two, your family. Number three on the order of priority is this place right here. You're called to love and serve the bride of Christ. But you know, in all of this, Tracy, don't lose yourself. God has made you specifically. He's put you together. He's given you gifts. He's called you. Don't lose yourself in serving. Don't become everything to all people. You can't do it. It's not possible. So make sure that you don't lose yourself when you serve the bride of Christ. I can already sense you love these people. I know what it's like to go to a new church and go, where does this come from? It comes from the Spirit of God. He puts it in your heart. Now I want you to love these people. And we do. Could you? I can. But you know what, brother? Don't lose yourself. Don't lose yourself. So it's not an easy role. Second thing is, he says, to endure. Don't give up. It's going to be hard work. You have to work with Joel. Okay, enough said. And Mark. Yeah, okay? And then the elders. And the leaders in the church. And the church family. It's going to be hard work. It's what it is. And I know you do well at it. But don't give up. There'll be a blend of celebration and challenges, of delights and difficulties, of wonderment and wackiness. That makes up the bride of Christ. And then there's the challenge of the times, the watering down of the word, the watering down of the work of Christ. Keep your head no matter what happens. Keep your head no matter what happens. And you do that by staying in touch with the Lord. Amen. That's my charge to you. Serve these people well. They're wonderful people. They have waited. They have prayed for. They have searched. And God said, I bring you here. Serve them well. Now, my charge to you as a church family, love them well. Love them well. We think of it sometimes in the congregation, well, we've got a new pastor coming. Isn't that wonderful? He was 12 years at a church. Sold out to Slave Lake Alliance Church. Sold out. Heart fully engaged. And one day God said, I'm taking that from you, and I'm going to give you a new family to love. So just imagine what they as a family are going through, saying goodbye to 12 years of friendship. Deep, rich friendship, because they fully, fully engage themselves in the life of the church. It's part of who we are, how God has wired us up. We are just fully in. You don't have to stop loving that church, by the way. Because I know many people there love you. But the reality is, friends, God has called them here. So now they've sold everything, packed up everything, and moved here to be a part of you. I have a word for you. It comes from Colossians chapter 3. A command in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who is in this very room, very present with us today. And in his sight I give you these words. You are God's chosen people. You are holy and dearly loved by the Father. So put on tender mercy and kindness as if it were your clothes. Don't be proud, but be gentle and patient. Put up with each other. Forgive the things you are holding against one another. Forgive just as the Lord forgave you. If you want to know the standard about forgiveness, forgive just as the Lord forgave you. And over all these good things, put on love. Love holds them all together perfectly as if they were one. Let the peace that Christ gives rule in your heart. As part of one body, you were appointed to live in peace. And be thankful. Let Christ's word live in you like a rich treasure. Teach and correct each other wisely. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing with thanks in your heart to God. Do everything you say or do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Always give thanks to God, the Father, through Christ. You are God's chosen people. My charge to you. Number one, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Tracy's not your conscience or your Bible reader or your relationship with God. You don't have to go through him to God. Develop your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Fall in love with God every day. Love your pastor and their family. The greatest things I would love to hear in 10 years from now, man, oh man, these people are just amazing. They just keep loving us. And love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Always, always love each other. They will know that we are Christians by our church building. Isn't that a great scripture? You want to impact your community? Let your community know how much you love each other and how much you love them. And you will have to lock the doors to keep people out. When the body is working at its strength in love and grace and mercy and goodness and serving and care, and you show unity and love, my word, you will impact your community for Christ. You really will. You really will. So be God's people. That's my charge to you. Tracy, we want to pray for you and Jennifer. We want to anoint you with oil. This sounds bizarre, but one day I was in the shower, and God gave me this vision of Aaron. And when they poured the oil over his head, it ran down his face and into his beard and ran through them. And the Lord said, I want you to start doing that to our pastors when you install them. And I'm like, that's beautiful. Because we think of the oil as healing, which it is, but it also signifies the Spirit of God. So we would anoint you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The second thing, another time I was in the shower. God and I have a lot of conversation in the shower. He said, Brent, I want you to involve the congregation. Because this isn't just the elders praying over you as a couple, as a family. But I want you to involve the congregation. So I'm going to ask if you and Jennifer, and the guys, if you guys want to join us, you're welcome to come join us. But stand right in the middle. Then we're going to have the elders gather around. And then I'm going to invite the whole church family to stand up and lean in and place your hand on the person in front. So we will have a complete web of laying on of hands on your pastor. I want you involved in this. This is your dedicating your pastor to his new ministry and calling. And as God's people, we have that privilege. And I'm going to invite all of us to be a part of that. So, will you please go there, Jennifer? And I don't even know your son's name. That's how good of friendship we have. So Rob and Norm, would you come? Well, just go join your mom and dad. Sure, that's awesome. Thank you. And then can I have the elders gather around, please? Leave a little bit of room in front for me. There, it'd be great. And now the whole church family, will you come in and join in? Laying on your hands on the person in front of you. Keep coming in. This is great. Gather around. This is a moment I do not want you to forget. This is a moment as the church family comes together in unity to surround the man and woman that God has called to this church to serve you, to love you, to lead you, to challenge you, to equip you. And as you work together in unity as you demonstrate right now, the Spirit of God will do great things in this place. So Tracy, with this oil, I anoint you. I'm not going to pour the whole bottle. You don't have a beard. It wouldn't work. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to ask Ron to pray, and then I'm going to pray.
Father God, we pray that Tracy will be sold out to Jesus, that will be his first love. We pray that ministry will not rob him of that first love. We pray for rest physically, and spiritually. To remind Tracy, this is not his ministry, but God's. We pray for Tracy to find that good balance so his family does not become resentful of his call to ministry. We pray for a continued passion and conviction to his calling, and that he will walk in confidence, kneeling with humility as a shepherd to his flock. We pray for encouragement and faith in his ministry against harsh words that come from the enemy. We pray that God, that you will guard him against burnout and depression and not allow him to fall prey to Satan's lies. I pray that ministry, teaching, preaching, and leading will never become a chore for Tracy, but that it will always be a joy and a blessing to serve the Lord and his people with kindness and gladness. And finally, I ask that we as a church never stop praying for Tracy, the staff, and their families, as they have all been called sacrificially to serve you.
Yeah. Tracy, I wasn't in a shower this time. I was actually standing in the Jordan River in Israel, and was given a blessing by another pastor. And it's the old Jewish tradition of the blessing of the mind and the hands and the heart and the feet. And every Jew would go through, before he went into the temple, would go through a washing, a ceremonial washing. So this morning, I want to bless you with this blessing. So in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, I pray that you will have the mind of Christ. That everything you think about will go through the minding of heaven. And that Jesus will fill your mind with him, with beauty, with strength. That your mind will think of purity, those things that are good and righteous and pure. That you will have the mind of Jesus as you think about people and these people that you will serve. That you will have a fresh and sharp mind, like the mind of Christ. I pray for your heart, that you will have the heart of Christ, the compassion of Christ, that you will have the grace of Christ and the mercy of Christ in your heart. And everything, every time your heart pumps, you will say, this is the grace of Christ within me, the mercy of Christ, the love of Christ. And as you serve these people, every time your heart pumps, it will pump that to them. I pray for your hands, that you will have the servant hands of Christ. As he got down and washed his disciples' feet in humility, in humbleness, he washed his disciples' feet. He cared, he served them. And as he served others, and as he reached out and touched those that were lame, as he reached out and brought healing to the eyes of those that were blind, he used his hands, he touched them. There's a purpose in touch. And I pray that as you reach out and touch people, that they will know that they have been touched by the hands of Christ through their pastor. I'm going to get down here. I want to pray for your feet. I pray that you will have the swift feet of Christ. The feet of Christ that bring the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and hurting world. May your feet bring you to places that are dark. May your feet bring you to places that are in great need of Jesus. And will you bring your people there with you? And will you help them and lead them and direct them into the battle that we are in for the glory of Christ? I pray that God will give you strong feet, feet of peace. In Jesus' name. Gracious Father, I pray that you will give Tracy and Jennifer an abundance of your grace and mercy. I pray that you will bless them richly with love from this dear family. And Lord, moving forward from this day forth, begin a new work. Begin a fresh touch. Begin a fresh movement of your Spirit. Breathe upon this family. And bless them, call them, lead them forward. May they be a light in a very dark place. In Jesus' name, when we all said together, amen and amen. Amen. All right. We're going to close off with a song. And then Tracy's going to bring us a wrap up to all of this together. So.
Yeah.